it out. But however, it reignited again and burned another 3 days. And history blames Nero for this fire, this disaster, implying that he started the fire so he could bypass the Senate and rebuild Rome, this city, the way he wanted it to be built, the way he wanted things to run. And so the history attributes this to him. And so when people started to blame this evil guy, Nero, for burning Rome, he decided to shift the blame to this small but very passionate yet hated people already. The Christians, the Christ ones, Jesus followers. He said, they did it, not me. They did it. Isn't that something sort of we're starting to see in the world that we live in today? They did it. It's always the Christians. He said, they did it. So this already small persecuted group, already persecuted, have had the fire turned up, as it were, on them. And so they went through this season of heavy persecution. And this is the context in which Peter is writing his letter to the church. And so this is the context in which Peter was writing when he wrote the book, and that tonight we are going to focus on over the next 20 minutes. And so tonight, 5 for 5 is for two groups of people here tonight. Number one is for those who are hurting right now, those who have unanswered questions, perhaps going through a trial or a storm in their life that is uncontrollable, enduring perhaps a season that you've never endured before. And the second group is for those who will eventually go through a trial. Believe it or not, you will go through a trial. And this message is also for you. And so tonight, through the next 4 speakers, they'll be describing the things that Peter was writing to the church. The truth is, either you're coming out of a trial, you're currently in the middle of a trial, or you are going to go through a trial. And so tonight, I'm very privileged to invite our first speaker tonight. She is a great woman of God, a New Zealander, praise the Lord. Sister Bethany, why don't you come and share with us tonight?
I'm a little bit nervous, as you can probably expect, but I know that God can still use us even when we are terrified, so just bear with me. Thank you, Brother Morty, and even though Pastor's not here, I feel it's necessary for me to thank Pastor for the opportunity as well. As Brother Morty said, this evening we're talking about different, and I have been given the task to talk about having a different faith during trials. And so our scripture for this evening is 1 Peter 1:6-9, and it says, "Wherein ye greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, ye are in heaviness through manifold temptations, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with faith, might be found under praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ, whom having not seen, ye love, in whom though now ye see him not, yet believing, ye rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of our souls." So as Brother Morty said, this scripture was written during a time of persecution for the church. And I was doing some research on this period of time and about Nero, and I came across someone that said, and he was kind of describing the scene, and they said, "He ordered all manner of creative and brutal persecutions. Some were condemned to the death to be dressed in animal skins and torn apart by dogs, while others were burnt to death in nighttime pyres that provided light for the emperor's garden parties." I mean, what a time to be alive and to be a Christian. Because for me, when I think about, you know, the first century church, I often think of great revival. I often think of the outpouring of God's Spirit, but I neglect to realize the time in which they lived. Another portion of scripture that I want to read is in Luke 22:31-32. And it says, "And the Lord said to Simon, Simon, behold, Satan hath desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. But I have prayed for thee, that your faith fail not. And when thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren." Trials do two things. The first thing is it reveals our faith. For Peter, if you read at the beginning, he comes out and he is an outspoken apostle. He runs his mouth like no one else. And he was the first to say, "Lord, I will not deny you." And yet, where was he when Jesus was being beaten? He was standing there and saying, "No, I don't know Jesus. I don't know who he is." So this is a man who had such confidence in himself that he said, "No, no, I won't deny you." See, this trial for Peter, and I do believe it is a trial, tested him in a way that nothing else would, because he came face to face with the fact that he is mere flesh. This trial stripped him of his pride and dependence on self. He realized that he serves a mighty God, and that even though he might have done wrong, even though he might have failed, that God is able to use. Because on the day of Pentecost, the person in which Jesus chose to bring forth his message was Peter. And he did it with boldness and urgency and with such a passion that so many souls were saved. God never wastes hurt. He always is working and he always moves in it. The second thing that a trial does is it draws us closer to God. In 1 Peter 1:8, it says, "Whom having not seen, ye love, in whom, though now ye see him not," I'm reading the scripture again, "yet believing, ye rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your souls." I just want to remind you again of the period in which this was written, because many of these people that Peter is writing to suffered in ways that are unimaginable to me. They were stripped of their families and homes and were destitute. And yet they said, "God, I will still serve you. God, I will still love you. God, I will step out and say that you are mighty. Even though I don't know what's going on, I will declare your goodness." And so they drew closer to God. And they said, "I will never leave you nor forsake you." You know, that's the kind of thing that I want to be able to say when I go through a trial, is that even when it seems impossible, my God still is. I went to New Zealand and I went there with great expectations, and God said, "No, no, that's not the expectation that I want you to have. I want you to expect nothing, because your dependence is on yourself. I want you to be stripped of everything that you have so that you realize that I am all that you need." So if you are in a trial right now, I just want to encourage you and say that you will come out as pure as gold, that God will use it for the glory of his kingdom. And if you're not in a trial, then rejoice. But be aware that a trial is coming, like Brother Morty said. But don't be scared, because God wants to use you mightily and he wants to draw you into himself. Thank you.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Do you know how you get a testimony? You go through a test. Praise the Lord. Well, I'm going to invite our second speaker tonight, a very young, talented man, and a really great young person to be around, and that is my brother Gian. He's going to share the next part. Praise the Lord.
Thank you, Morty. Before I start, I just want to thank Pastor, even though he's not here, for this opportunity to speak. I've been asked to speak on how to be different and how we as Christians should add different values to the ones of this world. As us being human, we are automatically drawn to a sinful nature. Thus, we're automatically drawn to the values that this world has. These values are things that our flesh draws us to as being human. These values are things like money, drugs, alcohol, cars, shoes, your appearance, your social status, and maybe even how many followers you have on Instagram or Twitter. In addition to this, we're led to believe that these things will make us happy and will make us satisfied. But we all know that there's nothing in this world that can keep us happy or keep us satisfied, for all things in this world are temporary. But our God is eternal. He has not called us to be happy nor to be satisfied. He's called us to be different and to be holy. In every decision that we do and in every situation that we face, in every circumstance and every opportunity that we're given, we're called to be different. But what does being different mean? The word different is defined as not the same as another or each other, unlike in nature, form, or quality. It's also defined as being distinct or separate. So like it says in 1 Peter verses 1, in chapter 1, verse 13 to 7, therefore, with minds that are alert and fully sober, set your hope on the grace to be brought to you when Jesus Christ is revealed at his coming. As obedient children, do not conform to the evil desires you had when you lived in ignorance, but just as he who called you is holy, so be holy and in all you do. For it is written, be holy because I am holy. Since you call on the Father who judges each person's work impartially, live out your time as foreigners here in reverent fear. In order for us to be different, our values must be different to the ones of this world. We must focus on the things of God and His and Him only. We should strive to be holy, for as it is written, be holy, for He is holy. We should strive to fulfill the fruits of the Spirit. These things are love, joy, peace, long-suffering, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. And we should continue to value our salvation over our social status. We should value our ministry over our money, our thirst for God over our thirst for alcohol, and our hunger for God over our hunger for drugs. We don't need to fit into this world, and we don't need to be accepted by the world around us, because God accepts us, and that is enough. For example, Daniel, he was challenged by a law that denied him from being able to pray. But he did not give in. He kept serving God and he kept praying. He stayed focused on what's right, even though everyone was doing what was wrong. Even when it was hard to do so, even though he was thrown into the lion's den, he kept focused on God. This is what it means to be different, to keep your mind and your values set on God. He was different and set apart from everyone else, and that's how we as people, as Christians, should be. At school, as at work, and everywhere we go, we should be able to be seen as a different people, different from the world, and set apart for God and God only. Thank
you. Amen. That is right. The Bible says that we are to be and will be peculiar people. And I can testify that when I came through those doors late 2009, that when I walked through here, there was a lot of peculiar people. But I praise God for that, because there was that difference. I could notice it. That's what God calls us to be, different. You know, Daniel is standing in the midst of all these people that were bowing down in the world. We as Christians are called to stand, to be different. Praise God. Thank you so much for sharing that word, brother. Our next speaker tonight, another wonderful young lady. I'm looking forward to hearing from her tonight, and I want to invite her, Sister Clarissa, to come and share with us tonight. Praise the Lord. Amen.
First of all, I want to thank God for such a great opportunity to stand before His people and be able to share His words. And also, I would like to thank Pastor Jonathan for allowing me to be part of this 5 for 5. And lastly, I would like to thank everyone who prayed and guided me in preparing for this message. I know in my heart that I am not worthy to be standing in this pulpit, but through God's grace and anointing, I am here. As a matter of fact, I am very nervous today, and I'm not really good at talking, but something inside is pushing me, and I know it is God. And he's saying that it is high time for us to step out of our comfort zone. So if you have your Bibles, kindly turn to 1 Peter 2:9. And let's all read it. But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. The topic that was given to me is different calling in a dark world. We all know that the world that we live in today is full of darkness. Every time we turn on our TVs, we see a lot of news from all over the world. 72, maybe 80% of the news that we see in the news will always be a bad news, like people killing each other, drug addiction, child abuse, and family problems, and there's a lot more. But then, in the midst of this dark world, God has called us differently. One of the words Peter often uses over and over again is the word calling, call, and called. And as I check for the meaning of this word, Google says that calling is a strong urge towards a particular way of life or career. Another definition from the Cambridge English Dictionary says that calling is an activity that is a person's most important job. Like, for example, if you're a teacher, it is your calling to teach your students. If you're a doctor, it is your calling to take care of your patients. And if you're a pastor, then it is your calling to share the word of God and reach out for the lost souls. This simply means that if you know who you are, then you know what to do. So who are we? 1 Peter 2:9 answers this question. Who are we? For you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, God's very own possession. So every time the devil tells you that, or it tells you something that you're not, then you can probably say that I am a son or a daughter of God, that we are his chosen people, and you have a proof to show, and that is the Bible, the holy living word of God, which tells us who we are and what we're called to do. So what are we called to do then? In the middle part of the 1 Peter 2:9, according to the New Living Translation, it says that as a result, since we know that we are our chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, then we can show others the goodness of God. In 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 7 to 11, it gives us the details of what we should do as Christians. In verse 7, the end of the world is coming soon. Therefore, be earnest and disciplined in your prayers. Most important of all, continue to show deep love for each other, for love covers a multitude of sins. Cheerfully share your home with those who need a meal or a place to stay. God has given each of you a gift from his great variety of spiritual gifts. Use them well to serve one another. Do you have the gift of speaking? Then speak as though God himself is speaking through you. Do you have the gift of helping others? Do it with all the strength and energy that God supplies. Then everything you do will bring glory to God through Jesus Christ. All glory and power to him forever and ever. So as I was browsing some posts from the Instagram, I came across this note which caught my attention, and it says, "We are the only Bible some unbelievers will ever read." And this is very true. People from this world will always check on our every move. Some are just curious. Some would like to know, how a Christian should live. But there are some who are waiting and ready to criticize us. So as a child of God, we need to show in action God's love in our lives before we can ever convince them through our words. We need to leave our own desires and follow God. As a child of God, we need to live righteously. And we need to confidently and boldly share the word of God. We need to love people, help people, and serve them faithfully. It is our calling as Christians to let the light of Jesus shine into this dark world. We need to shine the light, bring hope, and make disciples. We have a different calling. And we need to do all of these things again and again and again. We may not reach everyone, but then at some point, we will be able to reach someone. Over time and with consistency. So as I come into conclusion, I would like to read a lyric from an old song we used to sing in the choir back in the Philippines. And I really love the message of this song, and it has a relevance for tonight's topic. And it says, "When anyone looks at me, let them see Jesus. Let me be a reflection of his love and mercy today. When they start to read my life story, I want it to bring my Savior's glory. When anyone looks at me, let them see him. I'm not looking for fortune, and I'm not seeking for fame. I'm not so concerned that all the world knows my name. But I am consumed with one passion, and that's to share the word of what the Lord's done for me. And I want my life to shine with the light so all those around me can see." And this song has such a wonderful message. And every time I hear this song, it will always pull me back from what I should be doing as Christian. We are called to be a reflection of God's love in this dark world that we live in. And God said, we've been called out of darkness into his marvelous light. And the light shines bright in the dark. The darker it is, the brighter the light should shine.
Amen. I'm so thankful that God called me out of the darkness into his marvelous light. Hallelujah. You know, God can do so much, for he called you out of the darkness. If you're in darkness tonight, God is calling you into his marvelous light. A marvelous light, praise the Lord. Well, I'm going to invite our next speaker tonight, another young man who I'm blessed to be able to have up here with me tonight. Brother Alex, would you like to come now and share with us tonight? Praise the Lord.
Thanks, Morty. I'd first just like to give honour and thank Pastor Jonathan and Sister Melanie, even though they're not here. It's such a great opportunity to be able to stand up here before you and share. And also like to thank and give honour to Brother Morty and Sister Brooke, our youth leaders. So I'm going to start, I bookmarked it in my Bible, with I've been asked to speak on the topic, a different perspective in persecution. So in 1 Peter 4 verse 12, it says, "Beloved, do not think it strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened to you." So first off, we need to understand that persecution is inevitable. When you're different, you're going to face opposition because people don't agree with you. And that's just how it is. As Jesus himself faced persecution, we as his followers will too. And he confirms this in John chapter 15, verse 18. If the world hates you, you know that it hated me before it hated you. So the world won't like a lot of what we have to say. And they're not going to agree with us. They're going to disagree and sometimes openly go out and be aggressive towards us. And in today's society, we face more and more of this every day. And the world is straying away from Christian values. And more things are becoming normal. Things like smoking, drinking, and taking drugs. And I see this every day at my school. I go in and people are like, oh, what you doing on the weekend? Oh, I went to a party. It was pretty sick. And I'm like, yeah, I went to a Holy Ghost party. It was awesome. And people also seem to be taking a perspective and a mindset of Christianity before they even know what we really believe. Their hearts are becoming hardened towards God because of stereotypes that they've heard. And then you talk to them, they find out you're a Christian, and they're just like, oh, so you hate everything? Yeah, no. And persecution isn't a new thing. The early church faced all kinds of persecution from when they very first started, constantly being thrown in prison, and Christians being martyred and stoned. Horrible things happening to them because they were standing up and declaring their faith. And to Emperor Nero, who, as Brother Morty mentioned earlier, burned Rome and he blamed the Christians. Many people believe that this was the worst time of Christian persecution ever. Persecution isn't a comfortable thing, but we as Christians and followers of God, we don't seek comfort, we seek Him. And people in the world today are seeking comfort more and more every day. And this leads to them avoiding conflict, which leads to no opposition. Path of least resistance leads to comfort. But if we avoid conflict, this doesn't just mean not getting into arguments. It also means fitting in. It also means hiding your faith. Because if we don't show our faith, then we're not going to be different. And no one's going to come up against us. And the Bible tells us not to do that. It tells us, don't be ashamed of your faith. Stand up. If we pursue comfort, we avoid opposition. Our faith weakens. And then we get further away from Jesus. And that's not what we want, because having a relationship with Him is the greatest thing we could ever do. But if we live boldly, we face opposition, and we will. Our faith will strengthen, and we'll be closer to Him. In 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 10 and 11, it says, "But may the God of all grace, who called us to His eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after you have suffered a while, perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle you. To Him be the glory and the dominion forever and ever. Amen." When we face persecution and stand up for Jesus, He's going to look favorably towards us. And this verse here, it says He's going to perfect us. He won't let us stay the same. He'll establish us in Him. He'll strengthen our faith. And He'll settle us. He wants and He knows what's best for you. And all things work together for our good.
Hallelujah. Amen. You know, in Australia and most Western culture, persecution is very small and minimal, although we do see that spirit growing. But from many countries and nations that a lot of brothers and sisters are here tonight come from, persecution is a real thing. And when we read about persecution in the book of Acts, it's actually persecution becomes the fuel for the church to grow. You know, persecution hit the church in the book of Acts and the church just grew rapidly. And I believe that revival is happening here in this nation and worldwide. The church is growing. And there's this thing, the world mindset is this, an interesting comment. It says that the world is to pursue comfort, avoid opposition, faith weakens, and life is empty. Whereas us, as children of God, are to live boldly, face opposition, and our faith strengthens, and we begin to come closer to God. And so tonight, I want to finish off our topic on difference, the way that Peter did in 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 12. And I'm reading from the New Living Translation, and he says this: "I have written and sent this short letter to you with the help of Silas, whom I have commended to you as a faithful brother. My purpose in writing is to encourage you and assure you that what you are experiencing is truly a part of God's grace for you." Doesn't that feel a bit strange to say, like, you're going through a trial and Peter say, you know what, that's God's grace for you. And then I love this part. It says, "Stand firm in this grace." Stand firm in this grace. There's been some fantastic topics that the young people have spoken tonight. And as we went back to the start of the two groups of people here tonight, those who are going through a trial or those who perhaps aren't going through a trial right now, but there will be a time that will come. And he closes off this letter and says, "Stand firm in his grace. Stand firm in this grace that he has given to us." And I love this saying that Pastor says, is church is not a place that we go to. It is a place we go from. And that is so true. The world that we live in today is ever changing. The truth is no longer truth. Truth has simply become an opinion. But we stand here today on the Word of God. We stand firm in the grace of God. It doesn't matter what comes our way. You know, going to conference is probably one of the most encouraging things, is to be able to fellowship with brothers and sisters that you've seen every conference since. Why? Because they've been faithful and they've made it through. And I'm so thankful for everyone that comes and encourages me, because sometimes those trials can be a bit rocky. But if you remain persistent and consistent, standing on God's word, I believe that God is going to do a great thing in your life. Hallelujah. If we can all stand, and I invite the musicians. I just want to take this time to allow ourselves to think about our life and perhaps the situations that we are going through right now. And just begin to think of those trials. And if you're not going through a trial, think about the goodness of God, because as you begin to think of the goodness of God, you're going to need to be reminded of that when you go through the trial. And so I wonder if we could all just begin to think and pray right now. God, we are so thankful for your word tonight. God, I'm so thankful that you've made a difference in my own life. And tonight I've inclined my ear to the word of God, and I've felt you speaking tonight. And in this place is where I want to be. And so, Lord, I stand in the midst of the trials and the storms that I go through tonight. And I pray for all of us, Lord, that we would turn our eyes to you. And as Peter commended the church to stay, he said, "Stand firm in the grace of God."